So before I ask if you have questions or something to share, I just wanted to say a fact metaphor. So the way that we understand the movement of the Earth, the planet, I just think it's really cool that right now we're going that fast around and around and around and around, probably this way. So apparently it's 836 miles per hour, the rotation. I think that's like about 1300 kilometers per hour, maybe. And then anyone want to just guess like how fast we are right now going around the sun? First, like, do you think it's faster or slower than the Earth going around? Faster? Anybody else? I really had no idea, but I was shocked when I saw. Even though I've actually gone back to this place in this book a few times to just enjoy the craziness of it. So it's 64,800 miles per hour, apparently, if they've got it right, going around this way, plus this. So 64,800 is maybe like around 100,000 kilometers per hour plus, something more than 100,000 per hour. So like at least 1,000 times faster than we've traveled in a car, even in Germany. Which is anyway beyond what we could imagine. Let's say a plane, okay, faster than a plane. Is that 80 or 800 times faster than a plane? I can't quite do it now. Which is still, I think, hard to even imagine. And so that by itself I find really cool. But I love as a metaphor also how often we're just going along and it seems to be this is what's happening. This is the truth. This is the reality. I'm in touch with reality, more or less. And where I am is I'm not going anywhere. Or... And I guess there might be some way that in our, the body that has bacteria as ancestors, like that the cells, probably has some connection with that rotation and that, like some way maybe we feel it somehow, not in words, but even if we don't, it's all, either way, it's really cool. Just how no clue we have. And even how nice we don't have to have a clue. We don't have to keep track of this and this. But just to bring a realistic and a real doubt to ourselves, to our heart, that we could really doubt that we have a clue, that we know it all, that we have the whole picture. And especially when it feels like not much is happening. Anyone would like to ask or share anything?
Experience today something really incredible. At the beginning of the day, I started to feel my mind really, really busy with running to the future, like having this new toy, really excited. And then I was, before really tired about the past, I came with the weight of the past, and when this was released, I started to feel the weight of the future. Like thinking about what I can do with this, what I can experience here. And this tiredness started to make me feel that like something is. I started to feel this resistance and feeling like something was giving up. And this giving up wasn't like giving up the practice. It was more like giving up something. And I just asked myself, what is it I'm giving up of? And the first thing which came to my mind was about me, who wants to be somebody else. And me, who wants to feel that me is not enough. And I felt like, and suddenly, I just started to hear the range of hearing. And it was incredible, like I started to hear everything at the same time. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but I heard people talking and birds singing and wind blowing, and somehow I know, although I don't know this language, I know what the people are talking about, what is happening there. Like, it was just, I'm still there, really. This is what is outside. This, so loud, with the sharpness, almost, and it just came to me that, you know, this is about this inner shift. This started to be more quiet, so then I was able to hear this
and speak. Hey. Thank you. Beautiful. Anyone else? Okay, feel free. So really what Dora has said already was the Dharma talk, so that could be it. And now it's like, Could you hear what she said? No. Oh, dear. Yeah, we won't ask you to repeat. The first great thing is that she spoke. It's not so always so easy to do that. Shall I, if I try to summarize, then you can like tell me. She came with the weight of the past, and kind of it sounded like hoping that that's, she's here to like be done with the weight of the past. Is that true? And that did kind of go, and then came future, busy with future, and then feeling the weight of the future. And then she felt a kind of what felt like a giving up, but not as a giving up of the practice. Not a giving up of practice, but then, giving up of what? Because there did seem to be something that was giving up. And it was really luscious how she was describing that process of asking herself, what is giving up? That it isn't like, that kind of giving up of, it's not aggression, but some other kind of giving up. And that then an answer came, and it was, and I wish I could say it how she said, let's see. It was a giving up of wishing myself to be that other person or some other person or something like that. Something like somebody else, yeah. That was giving up wishing to be somebody else, giving up that feeling not enough, something that she said was really good way of saying it. Do you remember? So, giving up that. And then that coincided with hearing everything. Everything. So the trees, the voices, the birds, not knowing Tamil, but knowing what they're saying, knowing what they're communicating. And she was like going like this, so it was, there was a sense of, it was like an egg cracking open. Almost so that it's, she said, almost sharp even, the sound, so much and still with her. So it's a little bit like if we would realize there's this reality and there's some other reality that's even hard to take, but true. And I'd like to get at the kind of guts, so the guts of that thing that was giving up, that thing of trying to be somebody else, that thing of feeling myself not enough. Like, what contributes to that? What makes that so strong it seems to be the only reality? It seems to be, to have any reality at all, which... Recently a friend who has long years of practice, which is so good. Just so good to have long years of practice. So today my son was saying, I don't even know why, he was saying to Odelia G and then me, like, you know, you look like you're like maybe 25, 28. And Odelia was like, okay, thanks. And then to me, yeah, no, you look like you're maybe, I can't even remember what he said, but half my age. And then somehow it kept going, and I said, no, I'm so glad. I think I just said, I'm so glad I'm not 23. And he was really surprised, which then surprised me. Why are you glad to be almost 50, like half a century? I've learned so much, so many experiences. So a friend who also has learned so much. And again, I have to just pause and just say, like, walking around here and being here with you, there's just something, I don't know, especially this year somehow. I always feel like I'm in U.S. English, we say rooting for you, which if you're Australian, it's not the same thing. But like, if you would be playing soccer, I would be really wanting you to enjoy playing and playing well and all. And the way each person, the uniqueness of each person, the way also just even the physical shape, those places that are the uniqueness, that certain way of the lower back is shaped that isn't like anybody else. And it might even be the part that hurts. It might even be like what you're trying to loosen and strengthen. It might be your project that triggers feelings of not enough and wanting to be somebody else. But there's still a way that it just kind of, I feel this week, like just calls for love. It's just calling for love. And it feels like it somehow this week here, like it receives that love also. Just not by trying to, just like it just receives that love. While we seem to be just walking to tea on the ground and some other thing is happening. And so it's not a kind of love of like, oh, don't ever change, you know. Don't change the way that your lower back sticks out in a weird way or something. Let it call for love and do whatever it does next, receiving love. And then I realize if I were you hearing a teacher say that, you might feel like I'm like looking at you, and I'm actually really so not. I felt like I should be, you know, I just realized today I haven't actually even sort of scanned the room. Gopiji from the ashram came one day to Anettaji and was like, are you checking that everyone's okay? There's not someone like dead in their room or something? And Anettaji was like, yeah, we check if they're in the hall. And I was like, ugh, I haven't been checking. So it's not that kind of like checking at all. It just, not even my eyes, as if, not even my eyes just land on somebody's ankle and it's just like, it's good. It's not even about your ankle. I don't necessarily even know whose ankle kind of thing. So I'm not like this. One of the first retreats that I did, longer retreats, the teacher, out of kindness, said she would go around the room and adjust our posture while we were all sitting, and it was packed. There was just the square, not even a square, but there was your round cushion where you sat and enough room for your knees, just, and that's all. And whatever, in the old Bodh Gaya days, 120 people in this room. like maybe like, I'm not even sure it's as big as the space, 120 people with walls. Anyway, and so she did. I mean, she just told us at the beginning, I'm going to go around the room and, you know, give some adjustments to your posture. And she started on that side of the room. It was just one of the worst 45 minutes of my life, or at least to that point. I was like 23 or something. And she went around the room, went around the room. Luckily, I think when she got to me, I don't think it was because my posture was perfect. She must have seen that I was just like shaking and so stiff and uncomfortable, like wanting it to be over. So not wanting to be adjusted, at least in that way, not wanting to be like looked at while I'm sitting here with my eyes closed and corrected. So, a friend recently talked about the usual reactions happening, but not quite taking over as much as before. And that might not sound like much for someone if you're more beginning and you think, well, long years of practice and that's all. And so the person himself also has those thoughts sometimes, like, long years of practice, and that's all. And the thought that comes to him is, after all these years, and what have you got to show for it? What have you got to show for it? How would you say that in French and Hebrew? Qu'est-ce que tu peux montrer après? How do you say? Tant longtemps. Did you understand it?
Yeah.
Well, exactly. What does it mean? Exactly. Exactly. That's why, so even this sort of torture of the mind of itself, and what do you have to show for it? What does that mean? Showing who, what, and why. But still, let's just go back to that moment of, oh my God. So it's a torture of the mind to itself. So I'm thinking, here I am impatient again, or getting small again, or taking over again, or whatever, again. I'm not noticing the importance of that word again and what that does to this noticing again. The burden of the past. The weight of the past, instead of learning from experience, the burden of the past. Here I am again, doing that same thing again that I wanted to fix. I wanted to be somebody else by now. Right? So this is where we uncover that wanting to be somebody else thing and feeling not enough thing. Is here that comes again, the back pain, the impatience, the can't sleep, the whatever. Again. And we just don't notice that how important the again is, what that makes burdensome, heavy, how heavy. It's like putting a stone on top of the experience. You understand? And then the mind judging, saying this experience is the same as before, it shouldn't be here. Instead of just honestly, I don't like this experience. This experience doesn't fit. It's not true. And what does it have to say? What is it actually saying? What's really going on? Like all of that is just, again, burden of the past. But then the phrase, what do you have to show for yourself or for all that time, for all that practice? What do you have to show for it? I just want to make sure everyone understands the English of that. And then how interesting. The language is precise. Even in this kind of brute force, like torture of oneself. And what do you have to show for it? The language is precise. It's exactly giving, like, if we could take out the emotional charge, and have the same words. What do you have to show for it? We can hear something in the question, I think, that's around showing. What's questionable is showing, this word showing. Did I want to show something? Did I want to get some stuff to show? Is that what I was doing? It was what I was doing a lot of the time, actually, and that really sucked. That was so tiring. And exactly when I gave up trying to get stuff to show for it, I could hear everything. Or some other realization, some other experience of reality. And so I want to just go back to that totally simple writing of Ryokan. You follow the forms of the Han and Tang dynasty and copy contemporary styles, that one. Carefully you craft lines sprinkled with novelty, all about the show. But what good are your efforts if you don't express what is deep in your heart? And we could even take that last line and change the emotional tone. What good are your efforts? What good are your efforts? What good? If you do express what is deep in your heart, if you let what is deep in your heart express as the first thing, what good are our efforts if we don't express what is deep in our hearts? What good are our efforts? What good? When we let what is deep in our hearts express. And so the habit towards showing and thinking we've got to have something to show first, then I can be myself. Then I can be at ease. Then I can actually do that secret wish of getting in touch with what's really happening and ask those innocent questions like, what is life? What is love? What sees? What is death? What happens after death, before birth? What's going on through the whole thing? What is this thing in my lower back that sticks out in a weird way? So, 2 days ago, I was talking about immunity as a possibility, as a calling towards living with it all and being okay, being well. What could help that streaming along in life and being well, even though there are bacteria and viruses and toxins and being half a century old. If we count back the 9 months, so I'm half a century old. More. If we count back the womb time. And so what about just that shift? Just that we do feel so good when we let what's deep in our heart express as the main thing. And even that could help us feel towards which technique am I drawn into, deeply or lightly. And what good are our efforts then? Does that make sense? Is there any question there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If we let it be the main thing, the first thing is, what if anything that happens, there could be a sense of anything that's going on, we could still let the deep heart be expressing. Though I'm sad, though I'm happy, the deep heart expressing is not, doesn't really care about the emotional tone or the shape of the lower back, and it's not none of that is a blocking. Deep heart expressing. And if that comes first, and then whether this time we copy the Han dynasty or the Tang dynasty, or we do contemporary, or we sprinkle in some novelty, that comes second. Some form comes, like it comes. But which one? How will it come? If it comes from first, deep heart expressing, very important, lovely, not quite a job, except enjoying it. There's an enjoying of letting deep heart express. And it expresses through my thinking and feeling and body, and also something more than that. Partly more than that, because it's not quite just a thought or an emotion or a body posture or a face expression. Fully in each one of those, and we let that first, letting deep heart express, and then from there, what happens to be the technique. Maybe only later we discovered that was the technique that I invented, that God invented. Or maybe there's really, we feel just very drawn to the Han dynasty form of poetry. We just love it. We adore it for some years, for the lifetime, for a minute. So just feeling that shift between when it's trying to have something to show for it, for all your efforts, and when giving up, that gives up. And we find that something else is still happening. And so towards that, it seems like our main work is about accepting not being in control, not being the controller. And I think there's two parts of accepting, practicing acceptance of not being in control. So I think one is really feeling the main destructive force is that part that kind of separates out all the time and wants to watch how I'm doing. Do I have something to show for it? Because I'm going to have to show something for it. That's the destructive. That hurts. So,
das heißt, was hat's gebracht? Was bringt das?
Okay, was wäre ein Beispiel?
Ein Beispiel, ich habe das und das getan und jetzt kann ich es der Welt zeigen.
Yes, the Welt zeigen. Thank you. So then we have a meditation and we feel good in the meditation. And then something goes, I have something to show for it. And then it's not an honest experience anymore. We don't honestly feel that we've broken the intimacy with that goodness. And with also even with our feeling capacity, we've broken the connection, the continuity with our feeling capacity. And we've forgotten that I didn't I don't know how that goodness came. But something is so worried, concerned, that I didn't ever have something to show for it. Look, now I've got something to show for it. And we don't notice already it starts hurting. Even if the goodness is still kind of like, ching, still ringing a little bit, but. And then of course, then we feel bad after a while, even if for whatever reason, we don't even also know all of that, but there's gonna be some feeling not so good. Does that make sense? Is there a question? So, and then, meanwhile, this another part of getting into accepting the reality of not being in control. That's more fun. It involves lowering the alarm system. So there's noticing the alarm system, that I'm so alarmed, I've got to have something to show for it. That hurt, okay. So, oh, here's an alarm system, I'm alarmed. I feel under threat, I'm alarmed. And whatever helps lower the alarm system. And that can involve, so, resting, and then so restful that you come to a point that something realizes I'm not in control. It's let go. Something's let go. And then, am I allowed? Is that, can I survive that? And then we see that, you know, the whole system, the cells realize it's survivable. And more than that, it's so good. It's survivable and it's so good. And then the goodness freaks us out. The literal just pleasure freaks us out. And we feel, again, it's survivable and it's so good.
Is it a chance that you have in the middle of, it seems like you're waking up in a...
Could be.
But it's not waking up because you weren't asleep.
Yeah, could be, yeah. Can be. And what if there's nothing wrong in the fact that there's a process of coming to an understand, a different systemic understanding that we're welcome in life? And that there could be befriending of the power of aliveness. And that we're allowed that sweetness too. And so then there's just like kind of a learning to dance with being out of control, with the forces at play. And we could feel that, like, what good in our efforts. What good, so good. We can feel the goodness that happens when it's about care. And we can feel how destructive it is when the same exact thing is out of being too careful. When it's for show. And so about posture, for example, I wanted to just show this this little small trick that can really help is just curling the pillow around, not all the way, so that there's that little bit of height in the back and a little bit lower in the front. And when we can feel how good in our efforts, when we just, we're willing to go to the trouble, to just do that one or two things to just support your practice. And we can feel the difference when it starts to get like, the whole hour is some kind of like, how was that last time? And then we start to feel embarrassed that we're still fiddling with the cushion. Or righteous. Jaya told us to fiddle with the cushion. You shouldn't be like, I project that you're annoyed by my movements and that you shouldn't be. But, I mean, we can feel the quality. And it's just sometimes hard to let ourselves go to the trouble. It feels like trouble before we do it, and then we do it, and it's just good. And when we feel ourselves troubling ourselves, it's hard to stop. And when we do, it's like, oh, that giving up feeling, and then, whoa. Thank you. There's a world. It's so alive. And we don't have to do anything about it. And so just like that sense, here we are and the earth is doing its thing. Here we are and it's good, like noticing how the torture goes, like that tearing away and watching myself, taking notes, trying to perfect something, not from care. That's good. There can be a goodness in working with those things that we can kind of work with. And it can just help sometimes acknowledging that there's more happening also. There's more happening somehow through just our sincere good efforts. There's more happening and coming into place that we don't have to do. But it's happening. Just sometimes such long years of patience and getting through those stretches of dry desert where you really have nothing to show for it. And you really don't know if that's okay. Like, should I be doing something really completely different? Maybe I should. And that could sometimes just open out as an honest question. Just an honest question. It could be. And that wouldn't be a failure, necessarily. It could be a fruit. Having come this far, now the next thing. Or now there's enough strength to bear the realization that I practiced all along to have something to show for it. And that sucks. It just sucks. I have a friend who was in India, and she'd done, there used to be a long string of retreats through, maybe there are again, I haven't been looking, but I do much less than I used to do now, having the school year to take into account, being a mom. So she'd done the whole string of retreats and then ended up in McLeod Ganj Dharamsala. And she was feeling really different from her usual, like not so much energy, like just kind of dull, maybe quiet. Not so much energy. And she just thought, well, maybe this is the new me, which is, it could be. And luckily, someone she didn't know so well, who had not low energy, had more energy, just said, I'm taking you to the hospital so that we can get a blood test to see if you have hepatitis, which she did. And so it wasn't the new me, it was hepatitis. We just don't know if what could be that, like, oh, we're spinning. For a realization that's more negative or more positive, like, it could be a whole, like, oh. But the patience and long years of practice that give a strength for that, like, Dora did this gesture of there was sound all around. And so I remember one time talking with one of my teachers, and he was this very big man, powerful personality. I was scared of him, and also have still the feeling like grandfather with him, very sweet, loving. All of that. And I explained an experience to him, and I had sort of expected a certain kind of answer, which he didn't give. But it wasn't like, oh yes, or oh no, it was like, And he just kept sort of staying tuned to me. We were talking about something else, but like, And then he suddenly said, now, yes, now, that. And I was busy, like, feeling embarrassed that he was still talking to me, and I had no idea where I stood, if I had anything to show for it. Was this an experience or not? Imagination? What? And he's like, yeah, that. Okay, go home and write down your experience tonight and bring it to me tomorrow. And all I could feel was, besides the embarrassment and the kind of connection and his force of personality, and like this very slight feeling across here spreading out. This very slight feeling of maybe like an eagle sort of catching a, whatever, God, I've forgotten. Those, thermal, thank you. The air, catching the air rising. Thank you. So slight. If he hadn't said, yeah, that's it, I would have been only with my embarrassment and da-da-da. But something else was happening also. So subtle. And many times, there's not even that much actually happening. It's even less. And so I'd just like to end with one favorite, very short poem by Mechtilde of Magdeburg. Is that enough? Good enough? The title of the poem is How God Comes to the Soul. Okay? So that's the title, How God Comes to the Soul. She was a Christian, kind of rebel nun. How God Comes to the Soul. And then the poem starts, I come to my love like dew to a flower. I'm trying to remember in Catalan. It's not os, that's Hindi.
La
rosada. Yes, the same as it is. Yeah? Do?
Orvalho. Orvalho.
Orvalho. Orvalho. Any other? Let's hear the word in all the languages. Tau? Oh, yeah. That's so cool. Tau. What is it in Polish? Dew?
It's like the
little drops of water in the morning?
Rosa.
Rosa. Okay. Tau, rosa. Dog? Let's wait till that goes. Can you spell it in English? How it would be in English? D-A-G-G, dog. Dog.
In what language? Dog in what language?
Finnish. Finnish. Swedish. Oh my god. So funny. It's like such a... The way my mind, the self-referential mind, I've only been of all the, Scandinavian countries to Finland, so Finnish. I've known Jens for like 15 years. Sorry, Swedish dog. Okay. La rosée. La rosada. What's the Hebrew one? It's something...
Tal.
Tal. Huh. Os, I think. No, I'm sure I've got it wrong now. My mind is not... I think it's os.
Nada.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. I think it's so funny. Again, Israel. Must be Hebrew. Say again.
Nada.
Nada?
Nada.
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 Nada. Nada. Nada. Thank you. I come to my love like dew to a flower. May our practice and lives be dedicated to that opening, awakening, unwinding, unbinding for all, including ourselves.